The first feature-length documentary about Patty Hearst and the Symbionese Liberation Army is opening theaters in New York, Los Angeles, and the Bay Area this weekend. 30 years ago, Patricia Hearst was kidnapped from her apartment near the University of California at Berkeley and held for 19 months. The whole world was watching. That story is told in Guerrilla, The Taking of Patty Hearst, David Darcy reports.
The Symbionese Liberation Army never had much more than a dozen soldiers, most of whom are dead or in prison now. Yet filmmaker Robert Stone says it aimed high.
The seven-headed cobra logo that they created is almost as creepy as the swastika looking at it. It's a brilliant symbol of terror. The pose of Patty Hearst holding the gun, that picture they took of her, is, you know, ranks up there with the famous picture of Che Guevara or the one with Huey Newton sitting in the rattan chair, instead of an iconographic image of the revolutionary. Even the word Symbionese Liberation Army, which is based on the word symbiosis, but it's really just very scary and creepy.
Stone was nominated for an Oscar for his 1987 documentary Radio Bikini about nuclear tests in the Pacific. He says that in 1974, the SLA members were among the most wanted criminals in the country and the most watched once they kidnapped the daughter of San Francisco newspaper magnate Randolph A. Hearst, who received orders from the kidnappers through the media.
The United Federated Forces of the Symbionese Liberation Army, armed with cyanide-loaded weapons, served an arrest warrant upon Patricia Campbell Hearst. All communications from this court must be published in full in all newspapers and all other forms of the media. Failure to do so will endanger the safety of the prisoner. Should any attempt be made by authorities to rescue the prisoner or to arrest or harm any SLA elements, the prisoner is to be executed. And in capital letters under that is death to the fascist insect that preys upon the life of the people.
Filmmaker Robert Stone says the media became the SLA's megaphone and ultimately its most devoted constituency.
I mean, without Patty Hearst, the SLA would have been just a small footnote in history. I mean, she made them significant. They had a star, and they played it for everything they got. And the media fed into that, and Randolph Hearst fed into that. And the whole thing sort of got into a sort of a feedback loop till they started to believe their own hype. And I think got lost in their own megalomania.
The SLA sent melodramatic tape recordings to the Hearst family via journalists like Tim Findlay. Findlay covered the sect and the Patty Hearst kidnapping for the San Francisco Chronicle. He's the co-author of The Life and Death of the SLA.
I think they were extremely aware of the drama, or if you will, the melodrama. They were living out a fantasy that kept getting bigger and bigger in surprising proportions. I mean, you remember they told Hearst to feed the world, you know, to feed the Bay Area. And he tried to do it. He, you know, put truckloads of food out and drove them down the streets and ended up literally throwing the food into the streets and people scrambling in a just a really embarrassing scene. Talk about racism and the bad image that presented. But they accomplished that. I think almost probably to their own astonishment that they accomplished that.
The revolution was televised, but according to one former SLA member, it wasn't much of a revolution. Russ Little was in prison at the time, charged with the murder of an Oakland school official. The SLA said it kidnapped Hearst to trade her for Little and his alleged accomplice.
It was just like total Hollywood, but I guess the whole thing had turned into Hollywood, so why shouldn't it be Hollywood for her, too? You know, yeah, I'll go join Robin Hood.
Patty Hearst became Maid Marian, or Tanya, the liberated socialite turned urban guerrilla.
I have chosen to stay and fight. I have been given the name Tanya after a comrade who fought alongside Che in Bolivia. It is in the spirit of Tanya that I say, Patria o muerte, venceremos.
But Tanya and her armed comrades failed to rally the underclass they claimed to represent. In fact, the SLA was turned in by their neighbors in a poor Los Angeles neighborhood where they took refuge in May of 1974. Patty Hearst watched that firefight that left six SLA members dead on television in a motel near Disneyland. In the documentary, Tim Findlay says the group's stagecraft, like its politics, came up short.
Good God. I mean, if you ever had a situation in which you have a condition when the left doesn't know when it's won, if the SLA had thought about it at all, they'd won. They could have given up and made a speech right there. They had the whole world listening to them, and they decided to fight it out.
Recalling those events by phone, Russ Little says that even in prison, he saw the end coming.
Being locked up in San Quentin awaiting trial, I was on the outside looking in, and it was really obvious that things were going haywire, more and more haywire every time. It became such a media circus that they fed on each other. The media fed on the SLA fed on the media. I think they started buying into it themselves. They kind of forgot that they were generating all this spin. Everything that happened just got a little bit crazier than the thing before. So I thought it was really bad what was going on, and I was felt quite sure that it was going to end up like it did, with everyone pretty much getting killed.
There are no heroes in the story either, or even many likable characters, especially not the media. Tim Finley says the army of reporters that camped out at the Hearst Mansion outside San Francisco had no idea what they were doing or who the SLA really were.
So the SLA was immediately in charge. They were not being investigated as such. They were not, their motives examined thoroughly. They were directing the media rather than the media directing the show. And that snowballed into the media becoming a pack that hung around the Hearst Mansion all the time, as if Patty was suddenly going to drive up the driveway one day and say, I'm home. But the media locked itself up rather than really try to track these people down.
Seen now, the SLA's story has all the elements of an unintentional satire, says Tim Finley, who says we're lucky the SLA members could perform for the camera with guns better than they could shoot them.
You can't get beyond the fact that, though, what they did was so crazily irresponsible that they were fortunate not to have harmed more people than they did.
Whether the story is viewed as drama, its star has gone on to freedom and to a dramatic career in the movies of John Waters. Filmmaker Robert Stone.
She did get out after 22 months, in part because celebrity is the ultimate trump card in American life, and she is out and the others are not, and in part because of that.
Patricia Hearst has since endorsed Guerrilla as a fair account of the SLA experience. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.